Time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Yes, be it they're staying at home or whatever.
Yeah, be whatever, Peter. Beautiful sunny day here, of course. It's nice and fine here. And, of course, we do tasting outside anyway, Peter, so we can keep social distance. So no reason not to come to the beautiful, pristine country here.
That's true. And Buddy, of course, will be on duty.
Well, he's tied up again, Peter. He's been chasing the sheep again.
Oh.
Yes. He's, I don't know if they have a remedial class for dogs, but...
maybe you should put a little banner on him saying, security.
Yeah. I bought a muzzle online. It was for extra large dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have paid more attention to the dimensions. I mean, Buddy could have got it, the whole thing inside his mouth.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Come on, Buddy. Get with the program, mate.
It didn't work too well. So what we're doing now is we left him tied up too long last time. I think he'd forgotten why he was tied up. So
yes.
we're tying him up immediately and then trying to let him off more quickly so that we can... he can get the idea of what it was related to. So
you got to catch him in the act.
Yeah,
and
we
then
did.
He needs to understand the word no.
Yeah, well, I think that might be a problem as well. You know, two-letter words, he's not up there yet.
No, never mind. He'll be good. I'll have to come and visit him.
Yeah, he is a good-looking dog. Boy, he's a very attractive dog. But... you know, I think maybe they're slow developers, these bull Arabs. You know, he's a lovely personality.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's even, you know, he thinks everybody loves him. And I have a lot of trouble getting him, you know, to go away. And people say, oh, no, we like dogs. And they say, yes, but about 20% of the people that come to the cellar door don't like dogs.
That's right.
And so he's got to do what he's told. So.
It'll be all good. Anyway, mate, what are we going to do with the world we're living in?
I don't know. Move, Peter.
Eh? I tried that, but I ran out of supplies.
Yeah, it's... look, it's the doomsayers, you know. We oscillate between those with common sense and those with little sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem we have, Peter. We have these panic mongers, of course, and now another group of doctors have said that they should lock everything up. But, you know, their business is roaring, you know, because they're doctors.
That's right.
Everybody else is struggling. But, you know, when I look at doctors, and I went to university and had lots of doctor friends, hope none of them are listening, but you know what, there's a large percentage of doctors, Peter, that finished in the bottom of the class. And some of the guys I went through with, friends of mine, I wouldn't use them as a doctor, you know, unless, you know, it's, look, they're just not trained in contagious disease. They probably can't even spell statistics or statisticians who are more, you take independent statisticians, forget contagious disease people, people that understand numbers. And of course, they take into account no intervention, Peter. We have severe intervention now. And if we're not as smart, as we said last week, the SARS virus originated in China, killed thousands of people, went through the world, and was extinct in 9 months.
Yeah.
Now, this one's a little more contagious. And it's the worst thing is that 85% of the people are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms. And so there's a very large percentage of the people out there that are carriers that don't even know they have the disease.
That's right, because they're not being tested.
Well, they have no symptoms, Peter.
No brains neither, from what I can work out.
Well, that's true. A lot of them don't have any of those, that's for sure. But statistically, you know that there's a huge number of people out there that are asymptomatic. They have it and they don't know. And I'll explain why in a second. But firstly, I wanted to say that You know, Australian government started to do a few things right. One of the things, of course, they've done wrong for a very long time is that they've driven all manufacturing out of Australia with, and then I blame this largely on labor laws and benefit packages and productivity of Australian workers, all of which are very, very low. We have the highest cost among, you know, in the Western world, the most highest in the Western world, Peter.
That's right. I was talking to a friend in Greece the other day, and basics like fruit and vegetables, we pay through the roof, considering what they pay.
Yes, well, that's a function of what it is. But here's the case for the coronavirus, Peter. We don't make any masks. We don't make any test kits.
That's right.
It's a big article in the paper this morning. They're expecting 100,000 test kits to be arriving in Australia in the next little while. You know, we can't test anybody, Peter, because we have no test kits. We don't make anything anymore. So we rely. We should call Mr. Ma, you know, the guy that owns Alibaba. He's just donated 1 million masks to Africa and 600,000 test kits. We should get on that list.
Yeah, you know, that'd be good.
We have really low numbers. Well, part of the reason is we're not testing anybody.
Well, the problem is, too, we've got people that sort of line up, and they're being tested last week, so they go back again this week.
Yes, that's because of the doctors, the health minister, I mean, the chief medical officer gets up and says, we're going to have 1.5 million cases in the first wave. You know, I mean, I hope she stopped making statements. Maybe the minister pulled her in, but people like that shouldn't be in positions of being able to speak, Peter. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. That might be the case if there's no intervention, you know, that it gets rife. But if China can limit their cases to 100,000 people in 1.3 billion, we should be able to limit ours to, you know, if just a fraction of that. Surely we're as capable as the Chinese government is in controlling these things. And I know that they locked up Wuhan, but the rest of China, they didn't.
That's right.
You know, so it borders on the ludicrous, Peter, but I'm going to explain why there are so many people walking around that are asymptomatic. I don't know what the case is now, but a couple of days ago I read Australia had tested 10,000 people. You know, whoop-de-doo. Korea is testing 10,000 people a day, okay, in South Korea.
That's right.
But here's the result, Peter. The rate in Korea is 0.3%, the rate of death, 0.3%, whereas the rest of the world, it's like 3%. And the reason why it's 0.3% in Korea is most logically because they're finding a lot of asymptomatic cases, Peter, that they wouldn't otherwise find. People that have no symptoms or very mild symptoms because they're mass testing. Okay, so their death rate is only 10% because 90% of the people that they're testing are asymptomatic, but they're contagious. See, so that's what makes this disease so hard to control, is because a majority of people that get it, particularly young people, don't show symptoms or show mild symptoms.
That's right. Well, I noticed in the news just last night that we had a new wave of people with the coronavirus who are below the age of 40.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to commend the government for keeping schools open. The rate of death in children is negligible. The rate of infection under 19 is 1% of all cases. You know, they don't catch it and they don't die, Peter. Now, if they're not in school, where are they going to be? Unless they lock it down and do what San Francisco just did and said everybody has to stay home. They're going to be everywhere, Peter. Mm-hmm. They're safer in school. And in any case, if they're at home, their grandparents or somebody are going to have to look after the younger children, and they're the most susceptible group. The grandparents should be home with no visitors.
That's right.
And so I commend the government. Look, if they get a case in a school, they can tell that class to stay home for 2 weeks or 10 days, or twice the incubation period, right? And clean that classroom and carry on. If they get a lot, they can shut the school for 2 weeks. But it's still safer to have your children somewhere where you know they are associating with groups that don't catch the virus. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to lock a school up. Like 14 weeks in Ireland borders on insanity. You know, the incubation period is between 5 and 6 days to show symptoms.
Right.
So twice that is 12 days, say 14 days. So if you shut something down, you have a dislocation of infection spread, right? So then you open it up again. It just, look, once you've had that two period and you've got over a peak, it goes down, you haven't eliminated it, but you can go back to work or back to school, and then you can, you know, work on it again. But if you keep dislocating the spread, eventually you get on top of it. And I have, you know, I don't want to make any predictions, but based on the SARS virus, Peter, and the actions that are taken now, I would have to believe, and Korea, of course, has had 8,000 cases, Peter, and every day for the last week, their number of new infections is going down. The new infections, Peter, are less than Australia is now, and they've had 8,000 cases. So it can be got on top of without destroying yourself and the economy. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It just, what we got to do about it is shut these fear mongers up. They're the ones that are causing riots in Woolworths. There's a big article, I forget where I read it now, that Sydney people are driving up the Central Coast and down into small communities now so they can raid the Woolworths and Coles and other shopping centers, you know,
yeah.
because the shelves are empty in Sydney.
Unbelievable.
Yes, and Coles now has announced they're going to open much earlier. They didn't do the early opening, at least locally, and they're going to open much earlier so the elderly and disabled won't get shoved and pushed, and they're going to let caregivers in. Can you imagine opening up the store early, Woolworths did, to allow the disabled and elderly to come in and shop without being mugged by younger idiots? And they're not letting their caregivers in.
Well, maybe they can have a round of cards and a drink outside while they're waiting.
Well, they can't. How does a disabled person get around in the store?
With extreme difficulty.
Yeah, that's the problem, Peter.
Yeah, anyway, well, they're sending out for new brains, mate, because they sure as hell haven't got any now.
No, it's at least they charge those women in that Woolworths thing. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, fighting over a toilet roll, you know.
Probably fighting over because there was a hole in the middle.
Exactly, defective.
Yeah. Probably thought it was an oversized lifesaver.
Anyway, Peter, I don't want to make too many predictions on where it's going to go, but look, if intervention doesn't reduce the numbers and bring the peak of infections more quickly, then nothing is going to do it. So we will sit around and wait. Countries have got on top of it. Korea's got on top of it. Japan's getting on top of it. Those that are, attacking this intelligently seem to be making progress. So we'll see what happens. I think the problem in the U.S. is that it's a much bigger problem than they initially thought. Because if you look at the statistics, Peter, of number of cases versus deaths, that can pretty much tell you whether they have the right number of people infected. If the deaths are less than 3% of the number infected, then it's probably being traced properly. If the deaths are a minor percentage, as they are in Australia and Canada and some other countries, a minor percentage of the number of infected, that means they're on top of it because they've found more cases than the percentage are dying, and the infections only come recently. In many cases, like Iran, of course, is not reporting properly. Their death ratio to infected ratio is ridiculous. It's way outside the norm. But in the United States, the death ratio was much higher than the infected ratio, much higher than 3% for quite a while. And that means the infection was there for quite a while, and they haven't caught up to finding the number of cases, because they had a couple of really bad infection centers, like the rest home in Seattle, where, you know, 20, 30 people died in that rest home before the government really even got mobilized. It means they've been there for a long time, Peter. And so we're lucky in Australia and Canada that our death rate is very small in relation to the numbers, only like a handful, you know, I think less than Canada even, who has about the same number of infections that we have. You know, we only have a handful here, less than 10, five, I think last time I looked, in 400 people, Peter. So that's a new infection, you know, a new spread. So we should be able to control it based on those types of realities.
Well, cross fingers, let's hope we get it right, mate. We need to do something.
We do. Anyway, Peter, there's something here I thought that you should look at. They've now published a paper. This just came out last week. University of Colorado in Boulder. They have found that dirty air takes a heavy toll on gut bacteria. Mm. And because of the effect of that gut bacteria, it's boosting obesity, diabetes, and gastrointestinal disorders, Peter, and other chronic illnesses. So here's another, this must be the fourth time we've talked about pollution in the last 3 months and the effect on health. We've related it to cardiovascular, to stroke, to cancer, to everything else. There's been research papers published on it. But here's one, says that it's making our gut bacteria unhealthy and reducing the numbers, Peter, and that's causing all sorts of health risks. So we got to move out of the cities. We're citifying ourselves and killing the population off, Peter.
Yeah, it looks that way. Well, we don't kill people off when they enjoy organic wine.
That's true. That's true. Look, you sit back and you can't do much about the world state of affairs, Peter, but you can have a nice glass of organic wine while you're doing it.
Yeah, why not? And get very pleasantly in the bargain.
Exactly. I mean, at least we're not adding chemicals to our body. Our body, by all accounts here, Peter, has so many chemicals. You remember a couple of weeks ago we did that one. I think it was the average human that lives in a city has 80 billion particulates of pollution in their body cells, in every cell in their body, bones and muscle and, you know, brain. No matter where, you've got all these pollution particulates, Peter. So at least we're not adding with organic wine, because no chemicals are used. And according to Peter, which I won't go into now, but there is a host of very bad chemicals in the average Australian wine. So so you're right, Peter, you can have a nice glass, which is very good for your health, and we'll concentrate on the healthy side one of these times again, Peter, without the downside of all those things that, all those chemicals that have been tested to be in the average wine, so.
I like it because you can taste the difference between organic and the other wine. You can taste it.
Yeah, did you by any chance open a bottle of that 217 Merlot I sent you?
Not as yet, but we are planning that for the weekend.
Okay, do that. It's a very, very nice drop of wine, Peter.
Lovely.
Yeah. So anyway, we carry on, Peter. The internet's slowed to a crawl. Everybody working from home.
Yeah.
Productivity at home is terrible around here.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
You know, you wait, you do something, and then you wait for 10, 15 seconds for whoever you're doing it with, particularly now with our Fastway, with our shipping, because each time, it's all in the cloud now, and of course, we're not on NBN here, and it's probably just as slow these days with everybody at home, but when you enter an address, you know, to ship, you sit here and wait and wait and wait. It has to go to Fastway, you know, into the database in the cloud, and then come back to you, and it's just takes forever.
Oh dear.
But I see we got fast enough internet today that the quality of our broadcast is
Superb. Yeah,
it's good. Maybe Telstra's had enough complaints that they've cranked up the capacity, which they're able to do. You know, they're able to balance these things out. If one area is low, you know, they're able to use, because they buy or you know, their quota of capacity. And so your supplier, he can, it depends how many people, how much he buys and how much people and how many people he puts on that. And then they blame it on the supplier. But, mm-hmm. you know, and I won't mention it, but I had internet by a company that started with D, and it was so bad in the end that I got rid of them and went to Telstra, even though they were leasing the service from Telstra. As soon as I switched to Telstra, it more than doubled.
Yeah.
And it's because of the number of subscribers they have to that capacity they have. That's,
yeah,
that's what they do. They overload it, Peter, and then blame the supplier.
That's right. That makes it easy. All right, mate, your web address, your phone number, so people can enjoy what we enjoy.
Yeah, sellerwines.com.au, Peter, 657-45275. We did have quite a few visitors on the weekend, and we look forward to having a lot more. Get out of the major city. Come out here into the country. The air's pure, and there's no coronavirus out here, I'll tell you, Peter.
Sounds good. Catch up with you soon, mate.
Yeah, see you next week.
Thank you. Jeff from Acela Wine. That's acelawines.com.au.